Let's pray as we continue thinking about Christmas from perhaps not a very Christmassy passage. Let's pray and think more on what Jesus has come to do. Our Father, we thank you so much for this day, for the joy it is to be able to gather together, to sing songs, to sing carols to you of that wonderful moment. We pray now that as we continue to think about Christmas and what it's all about, that you would give us great joy. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What is it which is so special about Christmas? It's been set apart as a holiday. The shops have been preparing for it for months. Why is it so special? Andy Williams sang that it's the most wonderful time of the year, that kids are jingle-belling and everyone's telling you be of good cheer, that it's the happiest season of all as you enjoy time with friends and parties and caroling. But why do we do these things? What makes Christmas so special? I was speaking with someone the other day, only briefly, about whether she was involved in a church. And she wasn't, though she had been raised Catholic and she had sent her daughter to Catholic school for a year or two. She was happy that she'd sent her daughter to the Catholic school because she said that it was important for her to learn about what people believe. And the big thing, according to her, was the morals. The idea that connected all religions was being a good person. And that's an incredibly common idea, that all religions are basically the same, all teaching a pretty similar moral code. That it's all about being a good person and being rewarded with heaven after you die. According to this idea, every religion teaches you that by being good, you're climbing the mountain to God. But Christmas gives a different message. The reason that it's meant to be such a happy day, full of singing and feasting and presents, is because instead of us trying to climb the mountain to God, God came down the mountain to us. Today, whether it's a busy day full of travel from one house to another, or whether it's a quiet one, whatever your day is like, remember the glorious truth that we find in this passage. God offers himself this Christmas. We read some of Jesus' birth already, but right now, let's focus our attention on the last night, his last night before his death. And it's here we'll discover the importance, or some of the importance, of his coming. We'll discover why he came. We see in verses 1 to 4, our first heading, Troubled Hearts. God offers himself to troubled hearts this Christmas. So see there in verse 1, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. He's talking to his disciples, men who've been following him and learning from him for years. And they're worried, they're confused, they're upset, they're troubled because Jesus has said that he's going away. They've been with him for years, following him around the region of Galilee and through Samaria into Judea and Jerusalem. But his mission is almost over and it's just about time for him to leave. Now, why had Jesus come? Why had he been born in humility in Bethlehem, laid in a manger with the angels announcing that he had been born to the shepherds? We discover why as he prepares to leave. Verse 2, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? Jesus came to prepare a place for us in heaven with God. If we went to the beginning of the Bible, we'd realize how significant this statement is. Adam and Eve had once been in paradise with God. They'd walked with him, enjoying his love, enjoying his attention. But they had been thrown out of the garden, away from his presence forever. In our secular age, we don't realize how significant this is. we're used to relational dysfunction. We might have it in our own families as one person refuses to speak to another. As Christmases are difficult to organise, these Christmases where there is relational dysfunction, they're difficult to organise because the family feels like they're choosing sides if they decide to have one person over instead of another for Christmas lunch or dinner. But when you realise who God is, that he's the creator of everything good that we see and experience, the giver of life, the sustainer of life, the source of all joy and peace. If that is who God is, then to be separated from him is the worst thing imaginable. But Jesus has come to heal our relationship. He's promised to prepare a place for them, to prepare a place for us. If we'd believe. Now, how is that possible? Because of who he is. Because that baby born in Bethlehem, laid in a manger, was and is God himself. We see that at the beginning of John's gospel. Jesus is the eternal Word who was with God and who was God. God became a human, and this God-man showed us what God is like. He revealed the invisible God. And this Jesus is going away and they can't follow. No wonder they're troubled. We all know what it's like to feel troubled. Our lives are full of anxieties and doubts, of problems and uncertainties. Homeowners wait anxiously for each announcement of the Reserve Bank to know what the interest rates are going to be. Shoppers are feeling the squeeze when they get their groceries. If you were living in the Grampians or you know someone in the Grampians or are even planning on holidaying in the Grampians, you're feeling anxious and troubled as you see the fires on the news. Many of us have experienced severe problems with our health or job struggles. And all of these troubles, as severe as they are normally, feel heightened in a strange way at Christmas. We feel like Christmas should be different. These troubles should be gone. And Jesus says to troubled people, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Because he's gone to prepare a place for those who believe. Now, what does that mean? Some of you know the pain of renovating a house. I don't have any of those skills, but you know the struggle to take something old and make it new, to make it better. Is that what Jesus is doing, renovating heaven so that there's room for us? No, I don't think that's what he's saying. I'm convinced that Jesus, when he says he's going to prepare a place for them, he's not talking about the fact that he's going to heaven so much as he's talking about that he's going to the cross. The cross was why Jesus was born. The angels announced to the shepherds that he was the Savior. John the Baptist said that he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The very thing which keeps us out of God's presence, our sin, is what Jesus was born to take away from us, if only we would believe. God offers himself this Christmas. He is our gift, if only we would believe in his Son. This is his gift to troubled hearts. And in verses 5 to 6, our second heading, we see a glorious promise. See, Thomas is confused. And who can blame him? Jesus is saying some pretty strange things about going away and coming back. Where are you going, Lord? How will we get there? And then Jesus says those words which so many in our society want to ignore or to dismiss as being too offensive and arrogant. Verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So many people around us, including the woman that I mentioned earlier, want to believe that all religions are the same, that they're all about how you live. And it's true that all religions do touch on ethics. Jesus has high expectations for his followers about how they live when they believe in him. But if all God wanted to do was tell us how to live, well, we didn't need Christmas, did we? The law of Moses had already been given about 1,500 years before. Why would the eternal God become an insignificant baby born in insignificant Israel in the insignificant town of Bethlehem if all he'd do was tell us how to live better? He had already done that. Jesus didn't need to come because we needed a new law. He came because no matter how hard we try to climb the mountain to God, we can't do it. We can never be good enough, kind enough, loving enough. The mountain to God is too steep. It is too far, and no one has ever managed to climb it, and no one ever could, because if there's one mistake, one sin, we fall off that mountain. And all of us sin every day in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions. No one can climb the mountain to God. No one except Jesus. Jesus was the only one who was perfectly pure. He didn't come to give us a new law. He came to fulfill the law for us, to be perfect for us. That little baby who gurgled in Mary's arms grew up to be Savior. All the other religions, they say, do, be good enough, try harder. But they can never leave you with any hope that you've been good enough because you never can be. They say, do. Jesus says, done. He was utterly perfect with not a speck of sin. All other babies born will grow up to lie, to be selfish, to take what's not theirs, to disobey their parents, to say rude words, but not Jesus. This is what is unique about Christmas. This is why we celebrate with songs and feasting and presents. Because this Jesus grew up to be Savior, our Savior, the only Savior there is. Through Jesus, God offers himself this Christmas to anyone who would believe. But we have to take Jesus' words seriously. He says he is the way. The other night, or a couple of weeks ago now, I don't know, the other night, my family and I, we went looking at the Christmas lights around Bendigo. I was driving, Beck had the maps out, directing me to where she thought the lights were. And then we were coming home, and I was a bit distracted, it was dark, and I was driving down a road that I wasn't very familiar with, at least not from that direction. Beck had assumed that I knew where we were, so she didn't tell me that I needed to turn left down that road. But when I passed that turn off, she pointed out where we were, made me realize where we were, and suddenly I knew exactly what I could do. I knew that I could go down a side street, which I was used to going down, and connect back to the road that I should have already been on, no problem. There's lots of ways to get from one place to another in Bendigo. But there's only one way that God offers himself to us this Christmas. He invites us to come, but Jesus is the only way. No one comes to the Father except through him. Imagine I insisted that there was only one flavor of ice cream that was worth eating. If you told me that you preferred another flavor and I responded by insisting that you're wrong, that would be arrogant. I would be elevating my preference over yours. But if a scientist genuinely discovered a cure for cancer, he would be telling you this new treatment that he's got doesn't just treat the disease, it cures it. Don't go for chemotherapy or radiation or surgery, just take this pill. And that wouldn't be arrogant. It'd be based on the truth that there's only one cure for cancer, and he's got it. With Jesus, it's even more profound than that. At least cancer does have other treatments. other ways that you can attempt to get rid of it. But to get to God, there is no other way, no other attempt that you can make. No one else can remove the sin which keeps us from God, only Jesus. God offers himself this Christmas. That's why he sent his son as a baby, so our sin could be dealt with, could be judged and removed. Only then can we be with God. Only then can God be with us. Jesus says no one can come to the Father except through him. What a wonderful gift. Without Jesus, there would be no way that we could be with God, no way that God could offer himself to us. But he has come. And through him, through Jesus, God offers himself. He offers to be our Father, to be our joy, to give eternal life. This is what is so special about Christmas. The way has finally been opened. We can finally have peace with God as sin, our sin, is taken from us. Whatever your Christmas looks like, whether it's quiet and stress-free or busy and stressful, don't forget this glorious gift from God that he offers himself through his Son at Christmas. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, we rejoice that you have given yourself to us. We rejoice that through Jesus our sin can be forgiven. We pray, our Father, that you would work in us and give us great joy this day as we continue to think on all that you have done, as we rejoice in all that Jesus is. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.